What is up, everybody? Welcome to the last episode of the Chasing Daylight podcast for 2023. New year is right around the corner, and so we're going to do a little, reminiscing, maybe a little flashback action, talk about some of our golfing moments of the year, do a little look ahead at some stuff going on in next year, and shoot the breeze for a little bit. I'm back. Dad is back. Thanks for holding down the fort last week, fellas. Thanks for Jameson for coming on. Listened to that episode. It was fun. It's hard for me to hop on when I'm out of town, but it's fun hanging out, listening to you guys chat. Definitely, if you haven't listened to that last episode, Jameson, go back and check that out. Joe's rocking the hoodie right now. Mine's in the mail. Be here tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And all kinds of stuff going on in the golfing world. But let's get into a little golf that you guys played. I know the majority of you, well, I guess not really majority, because I don't know. Jeremy, did you go to Rio when they went the other? No. That was Dan and Joe. You were in Utah.
Yeah.
You guys played out at Rio. Dan wasn't brave enough to take my wager. He left me hanging. Went on the loop.
Thought I took that.
No, I thought he took it.
No, it said it expired. Didn't go through.
Oh, you had to respond before hole six, so maybe you didn't respond in time.
Yeah. Whatever it was. Anyways.
I waited until we were approaching hole six to...
Oh, yeah. Joe's like, first bet he declines. He's like, no.
I said, give me 82, and he says 81 and a half. Still would have won.
I put the number up there, and it gets declined. I sent him a text. I go, pussy. He says... I just doubled the first second hole. So, what was your guys' thoughts on Rio? I know Dan, you played it a couple of weeks prior with Jeremy, but Joe, this is your first time out there in a bit. What's your thoughts with Rio? See if it jives with what I had to say last time.
It was great, really good shape. Greens were great; they were rolling really well. It was really good. I mean, Rio is great. I mean, typically it's overpriced. I think what we paid was decent enough to play it. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Dan, what you got?
Yeah, it's I would agree with Joe on pretty much everything he said there, especially the slightly overpriced part. But we all know that now. You know, that's how Rio is. It's no change and no going around it. But it was in great shape. Greens were awesome. I played all right for a while. And Matt, I would have lost your bet. I for sure thought I took it, but I ended up shooting a 77, and our thing was 76 and a half. And I actually three-jacked the last hole to do it. So yeah. Oh. So, it was a good it was a good shape, and I had a great time.
Yeah, they've made some improvement there. The bunkers aren't wishy-washy anymore. They're pretty consistent throughout the entire course. Fairways were okay. Rough is, dude, you don't want to be in that dormant rough. It's so hard to get the ball through that shit sometimes.
Some of those pins when we played, I was like, okay, Reese Jones. Like, you know, I never realized they were very Reese Jones greens when we played. Like, very deceiving. Like, they go this way, but they actually go this way. And, you know, I don't think I've ever seen Rio in that kind of condition to where I was fooled as much as I was.
And they used to be
Bobby,
a lot worse.
Bobby loves Reese Jones. That's his favorite Wars architect. So,
yeah, Reese kicked our ass in Georgia. That wasn't even fun.
Yeah.
That was
the Oconee, man. The Oconee.
That is a really tough golf course. Really tough
golf course.
Jeremy, you were up in Utah. Did you get any golf in, or did the snow hinder that a little bit too
much? Yeah, no golf in Utah. It was kind of a quick trip, and it snowed, it rained the whole way there and then snowed overnight. So I didn't even bring my clubs anyway, because I know how it is. But I think some of the courses are still, they'll open. Like this time of year, if there's no snow, they'll open, even though if it's the ground's frozen. But so I keep seeing people up there playing golf like today, but it's just cold. Like 30 degree golf is kind of difficult to be motivated to do, but especially when the ball hits the green, it's like concrete, but it's still golf. It's just different.
Yeah, I was up in Idaho, and it was cold as hell. It was 25 in the morning, and the highs was like 35. I was so happy to get back here, and you know, the heater, we're getting our heater replaced. We're waiting a couple weeks for that to happen, so we don't have any heat in the house. And thankfully, it's hasn't been too cold. The builders at Pulte have a really good design on retaining heat. So, it's been nice in the house, so I haven't had too much to worry about with that, but didn't get any golf up there. Anybody else get any golf in this last 10 days? I feel like I've been gone forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rio was it for us.
Yeah. Man. I did get my wedges from Joe. He did not hold on to all of them. I got all three of them. I have them installed, put them in the Dart V wedge proto shafts from UST Mamiya. They feel outstanding. I need to go get some numbers down at the Golf Stop. This place right here, the Golf Stop. And, dial in some numbers and see if there's much difference. I mean, they feel tremendous. They look great. I'm really content with them right now. Pairs great with the irons that I have, so that's gonna be something I'm looking forward to. I have no golf clubs. all my golf clubs are disassembled except for my fairway woods and putter and wedges, but I was putting the new levels.
You do have some coming in the mail that's built by Faden Fairway himself.
Yeah, I was gonna get to that. That's crazy. I still can't believe that. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's crazy. Super cool.
Faden Fairways, Tyler Munns was having a raffle for some giveaways. And honestly, I just wanted the Seamus head cover. I've got golf clubs. I didn't need
that's
golf
what you
clubs.
Said. Yeah.
I entered a raffle and ended up winning four through gap wedge of the Adele SMS irons. With the UST recoils, the shafts
and
that I play.
BB&Fs.
Mm-hmm. And BB&Fs. And
you're good to go.
Yeah. And he sent me the tracking number on those today. So I got those coming in.
Oh, yeah.
The mayor of Tinkertown, Rob just said, I am, yeah. It is in full Tinker mode right now. I'm going straight Cam Kelly, and I'm going to have five sets of irons, and depending on my mood is what I'm going to go play this year. I'm excited to get the new levels back in the bag though. Cause I played the six iron at Wild Horse. I just took, cause I had built it up and took it with me and just hit some fantastic shots with it. So building that set up, then so the Dart Vs that I had, wasn't sure what I was going to put in those. So I decided, let's get out the Adams A4s and let's build those up. So, but I need to get some shaft, some tip weights, cause those shafts and those heads combo makes it like a C6 on the swing weight, which is way too light. It's one of the reasons I didn't play those to begin with, cause they were so light on the swing weight. So I ordered some tip weights, reached out to you guys. Jeremy's got a new shaft coming. Put that order in for his 3-wood. It's a 3-wood or 5-wood?
3-wood. Yep.
3-wood. And then I'm like, man, what am I going to put on these? So I went to BB&F Co. and I said, I'll do those orange ones, because Roar's posted a picture the other day where he did some orange and black on some MG4s. And that's Chaparral. That's my school colors. So I said, okay, let's do that. So I got the El Tigre, black with the orange stripes. Reached out to Star Grips down in Arizona, who we're going to have on the show early in 2024. They've agreed to come on and talk about their kind of rebranding of, relaunching of what they're doing. They've been around forever. For those that don't know them, they started, and one of the gentlemen left and started Pure. And not exactly sure what happened with Pure, if it was lawsuit or what, but Pure had to shut down. That's why they're having their 75% off everything sale. Mm. And so I asked him if he wanted to come on and talk about that. He goes, you know, we really don't want to dwell on that too much. He goes, but, you know, we'll talk about it for sure. So I said, yeah, if anything, just to, you know, get the right facts out there and let everybody know exactly what happened. So ordered some orange neon grips from them. So that's going to be my black and orange set. Then I pulled a set of the LAGPs out that I had. The Strixons are going on those. I got the Hanmas that I don't know what I'm going to put on yet. And then the Adele iron. So yeah, I am, I'm good to go with irons and I have wedges to go with each set. So,
so safe to say the mayor of Tinkertown was reelected.
Well, you know, Tyler Muntz, Fade and Fairway, put a post out there saying that he was putting out his, candidacy for mayor. And I told him, no. So we've kind of been battling back and forth on the tinkering, but I just upped my level to, you know, ridiculousness. So,
you know, it would be a really good like Instagram reels, like you guys go see a psychiatrist together.
And then, like, that would be so good.
They find out who's the real the mayor of Tinkertown.
And this is another reason why I keep the putters. Now I've got, you know, five sets. I got five different putters I can game now, too. So, see?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, so, but really grateful for New Level for the wedges. They're, I've been chipping with them in the backyard. Feel absolutely great. Can't wait to get that on real turf to see how they interact with the ground. And yeah, so even if I could play tomorrow with you guys at Paiute, I would have to borrow somebody's irons because I don't have any.
Yeah,
because I'm waiting for the ferals to come in. I'm waiting for the tip weights to come in, and it all should be here, you know, by the end of the week.
Wow,
how many sets of ferals did you order?
Yeah. Four.
Okay.
$120 in ferals.
No. BBF Co. and I have a great relationship, so it wasn't quite that much.
Cool,
but yeah. Okay.
No, maybe you'll start playing a mixed set, like two from each set.
Yeah.
Maybe you
play
secret.
A short set.
Yeah.
Or just like five clubs. You might be on your way to Soul Golfer, full Soul Golf.
We all get there different ways. I
mean, this is like, I could see it. I mean, Cam, when he was talking about how his fiance picks a set, I'm like, I could never go that route. But I could go out to the garage and go, okay, we're playing Paiute today. All right, let's play these. So I see that. I'm not going to give control over to somebody that has no idea what they're talking about, but I can see having, you know, a plethora of options depending on where I'm going. You know, I could be, hey, we're going to Summit, you know, Eric Greenlee's in town and he's hooking us up at a Summit. Let's bring out the Adele irons. Yeah. We'll go fancy AF. We're going Wild Horse. Oh, yep. I can bring out the Hanmas.
I mean, I wouldn't have picked either of those irons for either of those golf courses, but I feel you. I get you.
Do you have golf bags?
I mean, I'd probably go.
Do you have golf bags for all these sets too?
He has probably 30,000 golf bags.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah, and shoes. He could change his shoes for everyone.
Well, I know that. Dude, I know has everything. I've seen all those.
Dude, the shoes are bad.
So what? Let's make
it. It has different epoxy for every set, too. Yeah.
So what? I'm curious on a prediction. Which set of irons are you going to have at Bandon? Is it just the top performers, or what's your Bandon set?
That is a great question. You know, I never, probably ever would have gone with an Adele set. Just because they're not very appealing to my eye, you know, but this new set looks really nice and I'm very intrigued about the tech. If moving those weights around, actually does something, you know, Joe, I'd be interested to see, but what happens with those will determine, you know, which ones go to Bandon. But if I had to pick a set right now, the New Levels would be going for sure.
And then it'll change four times too. So,
And then the new levels may be coming out by then. So we may see another set in the mix.
Yeah.
That is a possibility.
Strong possibility.
Yeah, for sure.
You have like 47,000 combinations that you could make of all of your clubs.
Right? It's like a Survivor challenge. Yeah. You got to have the right combo. Yeah. You got to have the right combo in order to get the thing out to drop the flag and, you know, win immunity. Stay in as the mayor.
Got to stay on the island. Speaking of, I was watching Curse of Oak Island a little bit ago. How sick would like a 9-hole be on Oak Island?
Oh, right? Par 3 course around the money pit.
Yeah, a little 9-holer par 3. Like, we were watching earlier, and Katie's not a big fan of the show, and she's like, okay, it's 11th season, when are we gonna find it? I'm like, they've been looking for hundreds of years.
They're never gonna find it.
They're not gonna, yeah, and they might never find it. Like, why don't you try and find something that's 200 feet underground? But they did the aerial shot, the drone shot of Oak Island. I was like, man,
that just seeing holes.
I was seeing holes, man. I think that would be a sick ass 9-holer. You could build one because the west side of the island, there's not much happening over there besides like maybe some like old campsites from 1600s. Find some coins, but build a little 9-holer out there. Probably charge like $200 a pop. I think it'd be sick.
It would be sick.
No, that'd never happen.
Maybe once they find the treasure, they could do that. But until then, it's all about the money pit.
So speaking of new golf courses, Landman's
call it. Okay. Beds just said, call it the Bobby Dazzler.
Yeah.
That's funny.
The Bobby Dazzler.
You found another Bobby Dazzler. Oh. Yes.
God, that guy is fucking weird. It is so funny. I would love those shows to be able to just like wear their real clothes instead of the blank ass, you know, his vineyard shirt on everything, and Gary's all dressed up in his freaking scavenging outfit. It's like, good lord.
Scavenging outfit.
It's the same shit. I mean, they're wearing same thing every freaking top pocket fine.
Top pocket fine.
Top, that's hilarious. Anyway, so speaking of new courses, is Landman the new one in Nebraska that's just north of Sioux City?
Yes.
Yeah, King Collins. Yep. King Collins
design. So I was looking at that, and it's an hour and a half from Sioux City, and you can fly round trip from Allegiant for $170 in March. Mm-hmm. I was just looking. Probably I know that's not where we want to go.
$80 a bag, but.
Oh, it did. Still, that's not bad.
No, Trey was looking at that because they supposedly have cabins out there, which I didn't even know. And Trey mentioned he's gonna like try and jump on it. And I don't know what happened with it, but I really want to play Landman. That place looks fucking massive. Like it looks like it uncovers the entire middle scorched earth. Like it's just,
and then
huge.
when you look at it from the overhead on Google Maps, it just looks like a small little course off the side of the road. It doesn't look massive like the pictures make it look.
I think that's one I want to play really bad for sure.
Well, and you know, it's not it's not easy to get to Sioux City, but it's not that far. It's Bobby could get there real quick from South Dakota, and I mean an hour and a half drive. That's, you know, abandoned from
that's Coyote
from
Springs,
Eugene, you know, basically. That's it's not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that bad at all. So we may have to, they have some that say that we're open the books for bookings shortly. So we may have to keep an eye on that. And
yeah, we could fly out on like a Saturday night and then just go play it Sunday morning and fly out Sunday.
See, Matt, evening. That's how it starts. You just start looking at airfare.
That's how it
you
start starts.
Airfare. You're like, what's near here? Holy shit, this course. And next thing you know,
well,
you're planning
the potential sale of my Olsen putter and banking, putting some money in the golf trip bank has me a little juiced. So,
well, welcome to the club, buddy. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
My mom got me the 100-day challenge envelope thing where you do like $1 the first day and then $2 the second day. And she gave me $100. So the $100, I'm like, And at the end of the challenge, it's $5,000 and like $5. I'm like, that might be a couple trips.
That's a really good trip.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try and complete it and golf trips.
Golf trips. That's great if you had a tip job.
Yeah, totally.
It's a great way to
100%.
Do it.
100%. Yeah, totally.
Hey, thanks to everybody who's tuning in on YouTube. Really appreciate that. Also running the live on Facebook tonight. If anybody's on Facebook, thank you so much. Leave a comment on there. I'll see it and you know, respond to it. Some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight, as far as flashing back a little bit, I asked everybody to come up with their top three moments of the year, golf related. These are all golf related or as close to golf as possible. Something we're looking forward to in 2024. And then the last one, I kind of wanted to make you guys think a little bit more about, you know, beyond just golf and, you know, playing a course, something that you learned in 2023 about yourself that you weren't aware of. So over this last year, what'd you figure out about you that you, may not known previously? Little deep thoughts with Stat Guy.
Deep thoughts with Stat.
So what do you guys, which one do you want to do first? You want to do some moments? You want to do what you're looking forward to? We'll give everybody a little bit of time here and, you know.
I mean, Dad's home. You're typically the conductor. So
yeah, I know.
Dad's back
home. I'll pick Jeremy.
Okay. So top three moments of 2023.
Is that what we're doing?
Yep.
All right. So go 3, 2, 1, but say your three and then we'll get somebody else. Then we'll do two. Then we'll do ones.
Okay. So I'm going to preface my whole spiel of all my look backs and saying that this was a very difficult year for me for golf. There was multiple times I wanted to quit playing golf. And so mine wasn't as exciting as the other guys, but my number three moment, and this was hard to really look back because I have a short memory, but it's actually about a shot that one of you hit that I witnessed that was probably the most incredible shot I've ever seen. And that was Dan's bunker shot at Black Desert out of the 300 yards away.
That's a really good one.
That was insane.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was forever in my mind.
That's really good.
Let's touch it.
I mean, every time I see Dan in a bunker now.
Yeah.
Anytime Dan is in a bunker now, I literally think of that shot every time.
Yeah.
It was like, ridiculous. No doubt about it. So if you're curious, go, I don't know if it's on Google Maps yet, but if you do a whole preview of the 18th at Black Desert, he was in the left fairway bunker, 300 yards out. And what did you
uphill,
hit your three wood?
Uphill lie.
And you had a lip edge. You had to get over too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And flew the bunker or flew the green.
Yeah. He was 270, I think. I think he was like 270. 270 to the front.
Hit it about 300 yards.
Uphill lie. I had to clear the lip
of my life.
So I don't know if you saw Nelly Korda, reposted like Jeff K. Marsh's video of him or of her hitting a shot out of a bunker.
Yeah.
And she was like shot of the year for me, I think she said. And I saw that. I'm like, that ain't shit.
Yeah.
That's nothing. That was trash compared to what Dan hit out of Black Desert. Like,
yeah. That was,
dude, that shot was,
it was possibly insane. The best shot I've ever seen. I mean, I've had three albatrosses and two of them I saw go in, one of them I did not.
Mild flex there.
But yeah. I just have to, like, that was an insane shot. And I was super, like, happy I was able to see it.
It was a moment, man. Yeah. I don't think anybody and nobody else in the world could have hit that shot at that time. I don't think. I Jeez. Really don't think that. Like, that Damn. Shot, Dan, was, like, spectacular. Dan,
you've peaked.
Like, it was so good.
Yeah, for real. You
peaked in.
That was fucking all downhill from here.
Yeah.
It's all downhill from here.
Yeah. By the news, or buy the rumor, sell the news. And that was the news. And after that, it's gone. So,
cool. Well, I'm glad you guys were witnesses when I made it to the top of my game, the absolute peak.
Yeah. The only thing that sucks is you flew the green and you probably had to chip up.
I probably made a par or something like that.
Probably made that shot par.
Yeah,
that shot exists inside of our heads, and it'll forever be ingrained. That was insane.
Right on.
All right, the great start. Should've
choked up a little bit.
Great start, Dan. All right, Dan. Let's go with your number three moment of 2023.
I would probably say my number three moment was. That's a good question. I'm going to say number three, and even though it could easily be number one, I would say is the trip that Joe and I took and with Bob up to play Chambers and Salish Cliffs. That was I was wanting to play Chambers Bay for a really, really long time. And pretty much ever since that U.S. Open. And once I saw that course during the U.S. Open, I was like, man, that place looks amazing. So that was pretty awesome. And to have Joe and Bob there, you know, to be there, that was pretty good. You know, Joe's my main traveling partner when it comes to these golf trips. And and then we get Bobby out there every once in a while, IPA Bobby and
Robert.
NASCAR Robert. But no, that was a lot of fun, and I'm glad I got to knock that off the golf bucket list. And shout out Chambers Bay for having New Eras. So
yes.
Oh goodness!
Shout out Chambers Bay.
Yeah. I wanted to hop on and talk with you so much about that hat nonsense you were talking last. Good that and the clothes. Oh god!
Don't worry about it. We all have our opinions.
Jesus. Anyways. All right. So that's Dan's. Joe, what's your number three on your list?
It's like the number three overall.
Yeah. One, two, and number one is your number one moment. Number two is your second moment. Number three is your third moment.
Just moments. There's a lot of moments. That's what I'm saying.
This guy can just, okay.
I'm freestyling.
So pick your top three. Give us right, number
you go
three.
First. You go first. Okay. I thought you had like said like there was like guidelines for all these moments, didn't you?
No, not for the this is just our top moments of the year. Your three most memorable things that took place golf related in 2023.
Okay, I'll go. I didn't know first.
I needed to send a certified letter to needed it notarized and returned to me.
Yeah, notarized. I need that. Just to know it's solid and it's guaranteed. I'll say the North Carolina trip. The birthday boys, Dan, Julian, and Trey. Obviously, our birthdays being around the same time. North Carolina has been one of the spots I've always wanted to play since I started playing golf. And to go out there and get the weather that we got, play the golf courses we did, that was amazing. But the number three moment is the steak that was left in the freezer. So that's a little inside joke. But North Carolina, I got to get back there. That was incredible. Southern Pines, my favorite golf course I played this year, probably. So North Carolina is when we were there. Like obviously, when we go to Bandon, I'm like looking at houses. Like how can I move to Bandon? But like. That's a tough life to live in Bandon, but you can live in Pinehurst. Like you can find a job and there's a activity and there's an economy. So it's something that's doable. So yeah. Pinehurst, North Carolina was insane. Number three.
All right. So my number three on my moments, was getting my set of new level irons. Early in the year, I got those, pulled the Srixons. What are you laughing at? You laughing at Rob?
Number three is a golf club. Mayor of Tinkertown. Full effect. My number three moment was getting my new level irons.
I didn't go on any golf trips. So, well, I did one kind of, but not really golf. Yeah. But no, it was the, yes, it's mine. I'm sorry. It's not soul enough for you, Joe.
No, I'm just saying you're the mayor of Tinkertown and it's like, probably next will be like getting my BB&F co-ferrules or my 1 hour set epoxy, you know?
Wow.
It's a great number three, Matt.
You're literally the mayor. That's all I'm saying. Like fade and fairway. Tyler has nothing on you. Nothing.
No, it was the first set of new irons that, from a not off brand or not, you know, main brand that I had in my bag. I was eager to get them, want to definitely show some support for Roden and all that they're doing there. And, I'm happy. It was an exciting time for me, built that setup, played them for a while, went through some swing issues and pulled them, but that wasn't the iron's fault, but happy that they're back. So that's my number three. All right. Jeremy, what is your number two?
My number two is probably just, I mean, Black Desert's on there because I loved playing, you know, going up there to Utah. It's sort of, you know, a place I played a ton of golf, playing a brand new track with you guys. Really, it's just about the courses I play. I mean, I didn't go on any golf trips. It was sort of a downer year for travel, but playing So High Again was high on the list because I love that place, Black Desert. And then also Prim, since I love, that's one of my favorite courses in Vegas, seeing it turn around completely is also up there because that's the course I probably would want to play the most if I had to choose one.
True. All right, Dan, number two.
Number two is not really a moment for me per se, but it was when I went down to Palm Springs and watched my buddy Kyle play in the what event is down there? Is it American Express? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the American Express. Yeah. And that was awesome because, you know, that was the dream, you know, as a kid growing up, you know, playing professionally for me. You know, and I was able to do that for a little bit for a couple of years and never to that level, never to that scale of golf that he plays at. But it was awesome to see a great friend of mine who I've known since he was a little kid living the dream. He was literally playing in a PGA Tour event, made the cut, played in the PGA Championship, you know, so pretty amazing to be able to kind of share that vicariously, live that vicariously through him. So that was for sure my number two moment.
Nice. That's a great moment.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Watching Harry come through college and then Korn Ferry and then playing on the PGA Tour, it's pretty exciting. But I couldn't imagine, like, if one of my close friends that I grew up with seeing them out on the course, that would just be amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. So hell of a moment. All right, I'm gonna go next because I'm sure it'll pale in comparison to what Joe has to say. But next I have on here, we awarded four new players of the year in the VGN this last season. It was the first time we did player of the year four times. You know, we had each flight had a player of the year. Normally it was just a net and a gross. So four new players of the year this year. It was a great season. Trey, Doug, Jack, and Daniel Higdon were the players of the year. They made it a blast. Their competitiveness and playing their balls out all year long. Trey just went on a tear at the end of the year. And it was fun awarding four different people. No disrespect, Dan, who's like a three-time player of the year. So it was nice to give it to somebody else. So that was my number two. Joe, Dan, what's your number?
there's a lot of moments throughout the year, and obviously I'm forgetting some, right? But like, not to be forgotten, this is not my number two, but not to be forgotten is Bobby's beard at the VGN finals. Making the VGN finals above Matt is another good moment. But I will say,
so much love this in the room tonight.
This is kind of a two-parter. I got like a food one and then like a number two golf version. But number two is Pinehurst Tract Restaurant. If you're in that area, it's kind of a continue. It's like a 2.5. I'll say that. It's like 2.5. Following in on the Pinehurst number three trip, Pinehurst Tract Restaurant, go there. If you're in the area, do it. Wake up early, go get the breakfast. Hospitality to the fullest. Number two is the impromptu trip to Bandon to meet the golf homie and quest for par. I mean, it says something when you roll up to a place and you just start crying. And that was me. Dan can attest to that. That place is special. Anytime I get there, it's going to obviously be on the top three. No doubt about it. And I can't wait to see everyone in August that hasn't been there, because it's a big trip that's coming and I can't wait for that. But
we're 8 months away.
Mm-hmm. I know we're in, and we were a year and a half away at some point, and it's getting closer, and I can't wait. That place is special. Anytime you get there, it's that's the Mecca, man. So that's number two for me. And we got great weather. So great weather.
All right, Jeremy.
Number one.
Top moment.
Netflix Cup. Just kidding. No, definitely not the Netflix Cup. Mine's a little cheesy, sort of like Matt's new levels, but I think me getting my Muras finally after years of having them in my shopping cart, taking them out of my shopping cart, my wife finally pushed me over and said, if I don't buy them, she's buying them. So I think, I mean, it's a stupid achievement, but it's sort of like, that's sort of, you know, I've kind of been obsessed with design of golf clubs. That's sort of my thing. Joe's a golf club or a golf architect. I'm more of a equipment. If I could do anything in golf, it'd probably be designing clubs. So ordering Muras, I think, was pretty cool for me. So I'd say that's number one.
Nice. Good number one. Dan?
Yeah, well, my number one is actually Joe's number two, going to the Bandon trip. I mean, I've been there before, but I know what a nut Joe is about that place. So it was kind of a little bit extra fun to see his excitement and to actually witness a little bit of the tears. That was a great trip. Meeting golf homie and David Quest for Par. That was, you know, that was awesome too. But, the part that I think that really stuck with me the most about that trip is when we played the preserve. I had plantar fasciitis, so my feet were killing me. And when we played that, preserve barefoot, my feet were so frozen, but just to be out there and, you know, I don't really get geeked up a whole lot for par three golf courses. I mean, yes, I'll play and I love them and they're fun, but like, I don't get like, you know, super excited about it, but just something about being out there, being barefoot and maybe having Joe there, just kind of like something kind of like just kind of triggered. And I could appreciate more the par threes, why Joe holds preserve so high as his favorite course, probably there. And maybe a little bit of a introduction to the soul golf movement. That was definitely number one for me. That was a hell of a trip. And then going to Wilson's, snacking on the tacos.
Is that a tier?
Wilson's.
Yeah.
Is that a tier?
No tears. No tears.
No tears.
He's a writer. No tears.
But yeah, isn't it Wilson's Market? Is that the name of it? Yeah.
Yeah. Wilson's,
you know,
Market.
Going there, smoked having meat, tacos, and then that little crib that we stayed at, you know, it was, that was a lot of fun, man. That was a very cool trip.
That was a good one.
Definitely the best trip of the year for me last year.
Yeah.
Nice. My number one, it's this, the Black Desert trip, you know, going up there, brand new course. Just amazing layout, seeing it early, getting an idea of, you know, what the architects saw with that land, you know, before the resort and everything is all done and it gets really commercialized. It's kind of like you know, seeing it in the vision of the designer. It was, the views are breathtaking. I was with you guys, rode up there, free tacos, the, you know, everything's in
free tacos,
trailers, and just like Jeremy Dan's amazing shot. The views were spectacular. We had a blast. Jeremy broke almost his dying.
That's, you know, right.
Yeah.
So many fun little moments, and you know, hitting on the hidden tee box on the par 3 eighth, and trying to hit 200 yard putts on their putting green, and the highway to the danger zone rocking in the background and the speakers, and just it was an awesome day, and I can't wait to get back out there again one day.
Yeah.
That was my numero uno.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
That was a good one. My favorite moment is Jeremy turning into a Mexican with the on the last podcast of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Raider hat and the.
Yeah. I need to thin it out a bit, though. It's getting a little bushy.
I'm kidding. My number one is. It rolls into, like, it's the kingdom, right? But it rolls into more than that. It's meeting a lot of people that I've talked to on Instagram for a long time, meeting them in person. The kingdom was like the collection of so many people that I've just chatted with on Instagram. And it's like the people behind golf that really get it, and they really understand like what the game is about. And it's not necessarily about the scores, and it's about the fun. It's, you know, it's about creating the memories and the moments. And just all the people that I met this year, like obviously with my wrap up handshake year, video for the year, like that was really cool. It was hard to keep all that shit together in a folder. And I know I missed some people and I apologize for that, but everyone I missed, obviously you are still here in my thoughts, but it was a year of meeting a lot of really cool people, and that's number one for me, because there's so many of you out there and across the country, and you play in Indiana, you play in Georgia, you play in South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, California, Oregon, wherever you are. Like, that's just really cool to connect with like-minded people in something that I really am heartfelt about, and that's what it's about for me. I used to be one for, like, I want to score well, I want to do this, I just want to play with cool people that get it, play fast, fix your divots, rake your bunkers, and fix your ball marks, and we're homies, man. And that was really cool. I met a lot of people this year, and that's number one for me. I mean, wherever we are, I mean, golf is on the forefront. If we're on a family vacation, it's like, who can I play with in this area? If I'm going for work, who can I play with in this area? You know, and that's what it's about. It's about connections and meeting people. And there's so many of you out there, and I want to play with all of you, because that's what it's about, man. I love playing with these dudes on this podcast, and I want to play with them every chance I get, but to throw one of you in the mix would be awesome if you come to Vegas. So met a lot of really cool people this year, and that's my number one. And it kind of, like, the kingdom was the cultivation of that. And shout out Cam Kelly, Blind Squirrel Golf, all y'all. It was a good year for the homies. So that's my number one.
Well said. I'm bummed that none of you had anything to say about the VGN, so I kind of stepped that up.
I did say something about
VGN. I'm just kidding. I said
I beat you into the playoffs. That was VGN.
Number three moment.
Yeah. All right. So something you're looking forward to in 2024, which is just a few days away. Anybody who wants to go?
One thing I'm looking forward to in 2024, actually, and it's probably going to be stupid, but is planning Sand Valley for 2025. I'm not even lying because yeah. I know that it's probably already, you know, sold out for this year, but once space opens up for 2025 and that booking window gets, I'm jumping in there. So that is like yeah. number one on my next to play, you know, list after Bandon, of course. But yeah, it's
Nakusa, yeah, Wisconsin.
Sand Valley is happening in 2025 and I cannot wait to yep. book it in 2024.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Jeremy, what do you got? What are you looking forward to for the,
I mean, mine's
deuce four.
Mine's obvious. It's Bandon because we talk about it every single episode. So there's a lot of hype around Bandon. I'm sure it's not going to disappoint at all, but I there's a part of me that's a little afraid that I'm going to follow in Joe's footsteps and get a little teary because that has happened before to me in those situations. So I'm looking, Bandon for sure is top of the list. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's me too. I mean, that's yeah, what I'm
me too.
Yeah. Of all the things I'm looking forward to, it's the Bandon trip. That's
the number one thing is Jeremy's face at Bandon for me. I yeah. hope he's got the full.
I will.
I can't wait for him to come up to me after the second day and be like, dude, this place sucks. What are you guys talking about?
It'll never happen.
I'm going home early, guys. Happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hey, Jeremy left this morning. He said, screw this. He's going to Prim.
Yeah. For me, like, it's not even Bandon. Like, yeah, I want to get back to Bandon for sure. Like, but it's to see, because I've never experienced it like you, Matt. You know, like, you've got to see people there for the first time. And you were filled with joy when we went for the first time, and just to see me there, that's what I'm excited for. I'm excited to see the faces of the people that have never been there before that I'm friends with, like, because it's literal Disneyland, and I can't wait to see the joy and the excitement and the awe on the faces of people that never been there, because I haven't experienced that. So that's my number one.
Adam from Three Guys Golf posted a picture. His daughter got him a print of Bandon, the old course, the OG course. And I was looking at it, and they had tee boxes for number two, the par three, that were to the right and behind the number one green. Have you seen those, Joe?
I have not, no.
Look at an area.
You're talking about the volcano hole.
The par three, the second yeah. hole, after you leave
on
you
OG.
Walk down. Yeah, you walk down the hill and you hit up the hill to it.
Right.
There's other tee boxes that run parallel on with the first hole behind the hole.
Hmm.
And I was like, whoa, because that's where it was on that drawing. And I'm like, that's not right.
Yeah.
It doesn't go from there. And so I went on Google Maps and looked at it. And sure enough, there's three boxes back there. I've never seen those before.
Interesting.
I have to ask Scotty about those and see if that was just.
Yeah, we need to get Scott on, or Schuster, or somebody. Like, somebody has to come on this podcast and just talk about some caddy life at Bandon. That needs to happen. Needs to.
All right. So this is the tough one. This is the things that make you go, moment. And Dan, I'm going to start with you. Something you learned in 2023 about yourself that you did not know. And I'd like to keep it golf related. But if you need to go outside the bounds, that's okay.
I would say probably I've learned to appreciate, like, the golf design and architecture more. Like, before, when I used to, you know, when I go play golf, I never paid attention to that shit. I just focused on trying to play good golf. And maybe it's that now that I'm older, I'm not trying to compete anymore. I'm not trying to do anything. Maybe it's from hanging out with Joe again. but I think I've learned to appreciate more of design aspects and the great designers, and it's been pretty awesome too to go to some of these places, like some of these designers, you know, like I've never played a Mike Stranz course before, and then we go to Tobacco Road, and I love that place. That golf course was so much fun, it was awesome. The some of the features there were ridiculous. You'd be like, really? You never see shit like that on a normal golf course. And that's how his eye is. I mean, you can go to almost every single golf course and there's some wild designs, there's something crazy. And that's just what Strance does. And I think now I've learned to appreciate golf like that instead of just going to these places and focusing on good golf. I'm absorbing more of the golf course than I am just out there going through the motions. So I respect it. I feel like like how Jeremy said, if he were to get into the golf, you know, it would be golf club design. Like, I feel if I were to do that, my interest would go to golf course design. And so, yeah, so I've just learned to respect designs more, want to play some of my favorite designers that I've learned about. And yeah, it's been actually kind of eye opening a little bit.
Nice. Love it. Great answer. Joe, let's hear what you got.
This is obviously the most difficult question. I think I really like adapted to the, like, nothing really matters, really. Like score doesn't matter. I think I really adapted to that this year. It's more about enjoying time with the people I'm with. Obviously, I want to shoot well, is it obviously, right? I want to make birdies, I want to hit good shots. I think I'm more focused on the shot aspect now instead of the complete picture. Because it's kind of like life in a way. It's like, you know, one day you have a good day, one day you have a bad day, and it's shot for shot kind of thing. And I just think it's not getting frustrated about the poor ones, and it's about appreciating the good ones more. You know, I was kind of there last year, but I think I fully rolling into that now, if you will.
Okay.
So for me, it's enjoy the time, because we don't get to do it every day.
All right, Jeremy. Joe missed the assignment, so I'm going to read it again so you know what the question is.
That's what I learned about myself. You were talking about what you learned about yourself.
But you knew that about yourself. You knew that.
No, I think
something you didn't know.
I think I fully embraced it this year. That's the thing. Like, I didn't know I could get there. I don't think,
if you know you're an asshole, but you, I'm fully embracing it this year. You've known you're an asshole.
Well, I didn't know I could fully embrace it. There you go. I didn't know I could fully embrace it. Easy.
Full asshole. Never go full asshole.
Never go full retard. All right, Jeremy, what is something you learned about yourself in 2023 that you did not know?
I think we've all been hanging around Joe too much, but for me, it's, I didn't know I could have fun playing golf. And it sounds stupid, because fun is different for all of us. Like, if you go out and you play like crap, did you have fun? Like, maybe pre Joe, Jeremy would say, no, that was a waste of time. But now, you know, I don't play golf as much as I used to. I don't practice as much as I used to. And so the only choice I have is to go and have fun. And, you know, score, you know, sure, I want to play my best and all that. But I finally realized that you go to play golf to have fun. When you're at our level, you know, an amateur level, that's not really competing for anything important. VGN is important, but things, you know, a career. So I learned I can have fun playing golf, whether it's good or bad golf, whether it's at a bad or incredible course, I can still have fun. It's all in the head. It's all in your mind.
Yep.
Yep.
Be the ball.
And that's me. Cause I've been somebody that has always been stressed about trying to perform the best that I can. And when I don't, I get upset. I kind of let that go in the last couple of years and have not been so stressed to try and play the best of my abilities. And if a shit day happens, it's okay. But one thing that I'm starting to understand is somebody said that, I can't remember who this was.
Probably me.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, probably Jeff.
No, because I can't remember who. God, if you're listening and it was you, please remind me, because this hit home with me. They're talking about music on the course, and I was like, yeah, you know, doesn't bother me. And they said, I can listen to music in my car. I can listen to music at home. I can listen to music when I'm at the gym. But when I'm on the golf course, I want to hear the golf course. I want to hear the players. I want to hear the ball being struck. I want to hear the people cursing. I want to hear the people yelling in joy. I want to hear all the elements that encapsulate a golf course. And that was like, I was like, wow, you know, that really hit home with me as far as there are other ways to enjoy it. You know, you can go out and have your career best, and that's awesome. You can go out with your homies and have an amazing time with your friends and just have fun playing golf. But there's other elements out there that can add to the experience. And I have been closed-minded to those. And I'm learning to see that it's kind of like Dan with the architecture, you know, you're out there playing a golf course and you're enjoying it and you're having a good time. But when you left, did you really like take in what was done on that land, you know, and your eyes have been open to that. And that's some of the things that, you know, I've learned lately, that there is more ways to have fun on a golf course than score or friends. There's other elements as well.
Mm-hmm. I will say this real quick is none of us remember what Dan shot at Black Desert that day.
82. Right? I do. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't.
But we all remember that shot. Right?
Clear as day.
I don't remember what it. Yeah. In the tacos. Yeah. I don't remember what I shot at Gold Mountain that day, but I remember that little punch 3-iron through the trees that ran up to the green and it almost fed to the hole. I remember that one.
Film.
You know? Yeah. I don't remember what I shot at National in the VGN tournament, but I remember having a good time and sitting in the bar afterwards waiting for our scores to be announced and skins payouts, you know? And that's what it's about. It's about the moments and the memories, because score at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Like, we all want to shoot well, of course. We all want to shoot 10 under every day, but it's not going to happen. So enjoy it when it happens, but also enjoy it when it doesn't happen, because there's also subtleties that exist in between the seams. That's what I'll say.
Very well said. Very well said. So, hey, we've got some guests lined up starting the next year off. We're going to try and get Scotty D on here. Eventually, he's going to get his ass on the show. I'm going to make it happen. But the guys from Pure, Jeff Marsh, we're still trying to get him. Or not Pure, I'm sorry, Star Grips. They're going to come on. Jeff Marsh, we're trying to get him on. Got some other people that we're talking to as well. So we're going to have some more interviews. And, you know, I like doing the interviews, but I also like having everybody on just to chat. You know, Jed was great. I hung out with us. Roden was great. Jameson was great. And I hope you guys enjoyed those shows. We want the feedback. We want the comments. We want the likes, the shares, the love. Of course, you know, we want to get this out to as many people as we can and try to bring better content, because I know everybody wants the content. It's just how good the content is, and then we're working on it to make it better. So I personally want to thank everybody that has subscribed to the YouTube channel. We're up to 127 or 128 now or something like that, which
ballin'.
I'm happy about that. You know, it's not a million, but hey, you know what? At one point, Mr. Beast had 127 followers. So
we're still waiting on our plywood plaque to come in, but.
Yes. Pressed wood with rough edges. I think it's
cardboard currently.
Balsa wood.
it's an Albertsons grocery bag, just written in Sharpie. I'll put that on the wall next. So, you know, we're doing all this on all different formats. Like I said, Facebook ran tonight. YouTube Live is going. You guys are great in the comments. Thanks to everybody for tuning in for that. I've been posting some stories on Instagram as well as on YouTube. It's crazy. Jeremy's, shot where he hits the ball and walks towards the camera. That's got 6,000 views, which I don't get it, why things blow up and why things don't. Yeah. So if anybody wants to lend me an ear, lend me their ear and tell me what the hell we're doing wrong, if you know. But everybody loves the golf shot. So that's one thing I want to try to do in 2024 is convince these other guys here on the screen with us tonight. We've got computers in our hands that we bring with us everywhere. Let's capture a couple of these moments so we can share them with everybody else. They are great moments. Even the small little silly ones, the left handed, the opposite hand challenge, that video is absolutely hilarious. And I love it. I watch it all the time. Just if I'm having a bad day, I'll flip that on because it just makes me laugh out loud. It's so damn funny, but it's moments like that we want to keep bringing to everybody. So thank you for that. Anybody else got anything they want to chat up about 2024? Are we going to do a picks contest with others? Do you want me to reach out to a bunch? I know Connor's on here from Inside the Leather. I'm sure those guys would hop on. Yeah. I'm sure Fade would do his with his new Mid-Am podcast, which, by the way, go listen to that. Yeah. That's good stuff. Him and, yeah. and the guy from Thistle Leather Goods are doing a show just chatting golf, and it's good stuff. So I'm sure we could probably get a handful of groups together and do a picks contest. Okay, I'll work on that. Next week we'll be talking about Kapalua because the season is starting. Congratulations to Harry and his new wife, Mrs. Hall, for their nuptials. Yeah. They got married this past week. I'm pretty sure he'll be at Sony.
I would think so.
Yeah. Sad
news.
He's
going to win this year.
The Rebels are getting beat 49-30 down in Phoenix right now.
Oh, damn. I'm just looking like four back.
Yeah, it was seven. They got the ball first, drove down, scored a touchdown like it was nothing. I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be awesome. And yeah, they've been outplayed ever since. Hey, a lot of people coming back. They had the number one recruiting class in the Mountain West. 22 kids from Vegas got recruited. The next highest number was when Mike Sanford recruited 8. So that tells you Barry Odom is investing in this town, which I love. Yep. It's awesome. Yep. So congrats to those guys on a great year. Not going to get this one clearly down 19 with 6 minutes to go, but I've seen.
You never know. Things.
Yeah,
never know.
So yeah, hey, so I got a video I'm going to post of all the clubs that I'm building right now. it's pretty funny. Check that out. I'm going to have all these done hopefully by the end of the week. And I don't know, I'm going to try and get out with Woody on the first out at Angel Park and see.
I might be good for that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
might be. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I haven't done a New Year's Day golf outing in a while. Hey, they just scored a touchdown. So let's see. I bring them up and they score a touchdown.
Really? Yep.
All right. Only and down 12.
You talk shit about them, they score.
That wasn't shit. It was realism. Real talk.
It's not going to happen.
Real talk.
It's not going to happen.
You know what I really want to do for 2024? And maybe you guys can help me out with this. I want to find a golf ball and stay with it. People are posting that on that golf
just
talk.
Fucking pick one. Pick one.
I can't.
You've played them all. Which one works best? Pick one.
I don't know which one to pick. That's the problem.
Hey, if you keep changing, they're all going to do different shit. So pick one that you feel comfortable with and play it.
Well, I've been playing the AVX of late. The Odin and the AVX I've been playing of late and have been getting really good results out of those two balls. So we shall see. We shall see.
Just pick one. Okay. All there is to it.
I'll just play the Mizuno Pro.
No.
Why not? See the numbers on those things?
Balls are trash.
Have you tried them?
Or the last Mizuno balls were. I haven't seen them.
Have you seen your boys at My Golf Spy? Number one recommended golf ball is the Max Fly. Maybe play that one.
Do you like that little tiff that Billy and Ian Poulter got into? Mm. Yeah. I mean, they're friends, so a lot of people made more of it than what it was. But
what tiff is this?
It was funny how Poulter, My Golf Spy posted the top distance golf ball. And Poulter was like, I swing it at 115 and the furthest I hit the ball is 290. So maybe if you're landing those on a runway, you're getting that distance. Stop the BS. And Billy Horschel posted a thing saying, oh, you're one of those guys that lies about your numbers, huh? And showed his club head speed club head speed at 110 in 2021 and 2022. And then Pultz fired back saying, numbers guy. What do you say? It was 9 million for every ball mile an hour speed I'm off is the amount you wanted to come join Liv. Just battling back and forth. It was pretty funny. But yeah, not a lot of people are fond of that. I went and was reading the comments on that post from My Golf Spy, and you know, 5-6 years ago, everything was pretty positive from them as far as the comments go, but not so much anymore. I think people are a little, dismayed at the numbers.
Yeah.
It's funny. Roars was telling me that. Who was he talking to? I can't remember. It was one of the bigger brands, and he went out to California and was with them, and they were going through fitting process, and he was stunned that they only were fitting based on good ball strikes. Like, like a perfect ball strike.
Not miss hits.
And he was like, yeah, miss hits, of course they don't happen as frequently at, with the top level players, but you're fitting amateurs at your facility. You need to know what happens, and they need to know what to expect when the ball's mishit. And he says they don't fit to that. And he was stunned by it. So
can we speak on what Roars has upcoming?
Get in trouble. Right. So
well, we'll get Roars on too.
Yeah, we'll wait about that. But we're going to have him come on with some little quick fitting and building segments. He's going to help us out with educating the masses out there that may be not familiar with certain aspects of golf. So,
yeah, cool.
That being said, you guys got anything else?
I don't think so.
Well, hey, thank you guys for doing this with me. It's awesome. I love that there's four of us now. We're going to have we had a killer year. We missed 1 week, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just missed 1 week.
Did we miss put out something? Week?
Yeah, I think I reran the Harry Hall interview 1 week.
Oh, yeah, I think you did. Yeah.
But 51 out of 52 is not bad. And we'll be shooting.
Well, there was 54 episodes this year, right? 54.
Well, yeah, because I had some interviews. Yeah.
Yeah. So we you got one a week plus two. So
boom.
Boom.
All right, Joe, bring it home. Let's get out of here.
Thanks, everybody, tuning in this year to the Chasing Daylight podcast. All y'all in the YouTube comments, we went live on YouTube this year. That probably should have been the top one favorite moment of the year, but none of us said it. So
top podcast moments of the year coming next week.
Top podcast moments of the year. Thank you, everyone. It's been an incredible year for golf, and we got a lot of really good people, and we're going to continue doing this next year. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next year. I hope you have had a fantastic Christmas season, holiday season, if you're one of those people, and you have a fantastic Christmas, Kwanzaa, New Year. Hanukkah. Yeah, one of those people. So have a great New Year. We'll see you on January 2nd, recording live again. We're going to be here for you. So tell your friends, tell your family. Chasing Daylight Podcast 2023 is a wrap, y'all. Till then, later.